There's a famous video clip of actor Tom Cruise saluting a portrait of L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of the Church of Scientology. But there was a time when the Scientologist's cheerleader wasn't a Hollywood star, but the Australian High Court judge Lionel Murphy. Murphy wasn't a Scientologist, not even remotely, but one of his rulings made Australia the first country to recognise Scientology as a religion. ABC journalist Steve Kinnane has been asking some tough questions about Hubbard's so-called church for his new book, Fair Game, The Incredible Untold Story of Scientology in Australia, and he told me how Australia's highest court made Scientology a religion.
Well, it was a really interesting case about payroll tax, where the Church of Scientology in Victoria didn't want to pay payroll tax because they thought they should be tax-free because they considered themselves a religion. And it went right up to the High Court in 1983. Famous judges on the High Court at the time, I think Brennan was on there, Mason, Lionel Murphy even, and they made the decision that Scientology was a religion. First country in the world where its highest court in the land made that decision. It was based around the concept that the state should not dictate what people can and can't believe in. And that, yes, there has some wacky beliefs in Scientology, but so there is in the Christian church, or there is in Mormonism. So they were basically saying the state should not judge between one religion or the other. They're all man-made, so why not be able to create another one out of nothing?
And interestingly, just as Australia was the first country to officially recognise Scientology as a religion, it had been the first country to ban it.
That's right. That happened in Victoria first, then South Australia and WA. That came off the back of the Anderson Inquiry between 1963 and 65, which was the first public inquiry into Scientology. Went for 15 months, had a whole lot of witnesses, 4 million words in transcript. It was a very serious inquiry into Scientology. So yes, Scientology was banned in Australia temporarily in those three states. Those bans were overturned though.
Now, they were overturned because the Scientologists started to appeal to certain politicians. Lionel Murphy, who, as you said, ended up as a High Court judge, but was Gough Whitlam's Attorney General. Don Dunstan, the Labor Premier of South Australia. What was their pitch, as it were, to people like Dunstan and Murphy?
Well, how they got around it was, in Victoria, it was banned through the Psychological Practices Act, which registered all forms of counselling, including pastoral care, including priests and ministers caring for their flock. You had to register all forms of counselling except for ministers. And so they said, unless you're allowed to marry people through the Federal Marriage Act, you have to register as a psychologist. And they ruled the Scientologists out. Mm-hmm. And that banned Scientology in those three states. But what the Scientologists realised was, if they could lobby the feds to change the Marriage Act and allow Scientology ministers to marry Scientologists, then that would, through the back door, kill off those bans. And that's what they did. And they lobbied Lionel Murphy, atheist and a great believer in science, who ends up becoming the hero of the Scientologists. And they send him this big embossed package saying, congratulations, Lionel, thank you for allowing Scientology to be practiced in Australia again. Because for a while they were calling themselves the Church of the New Faith. And this was their kind of way around the ban on Scientology as well.
But I think the point also that you're making, Steve, is that they deliberately picked off politicians who had at the time a kind of libertarian inclination, who themselves were rejecting the strictures of traditional morality and traditional religion.
Very much so. They had lobbied the previous federal Liberal Attorney Generals, Tom Hughes and Ivor Greenwood. That didn't work. Lionel Murphy was very much a human rights activist and a libertarian, and he saw it as a freedom of religion issue, even though he thought all forms of religion were gobbledygook.
Yeah. The early appeal in Australia for Scientology seemed to be that it pitched itself to free thinkers, almost a sort of bohemian class of people. What was its pitch?
They were selling themselves to people who were rejecting mainstream society. I've got to say, it wasn't being sold as a religion either. You've got to remember when Dianetics came out, it was sold as a science of the mind, according to L. Ron Hubbard. So they were pitching at that kind of people who were on the fringes of society. It's a form of kind of self-help, a kind of form of self-therapy. I spoke to one person who said, you know, these people were talking about at the time UFOs, conspiracy theories, past lives. So they're people who were rejecting mainstream religion, mainstream society to a degree, and they were, you know, trying to find themselves. themselves?
Because it calls itself the Church of Scientology, because it has ministers who call themselves reverend, because it has a symbol that looks very akin to the Christian cross, I suppose I should ask, what is the core belief of Scientology?
It doesn't have a god. It doesn't have a supreme being. It does believe in reincarnation. And so people who join the C organization, which is its elite unit, some people refer to it as a paramilitary unit. Other people refer to it as a religious order. Those people sign billion-year contracts, billion years, because they believe they come back and they're dedicating themselves to the cause for that long. But it also believes in this auditing, which is a form of counseling where you go into a kind of a life hypnotic trance. And that is a kind of a talking therapy where things are written down, but you're also meant to be clearing engrams and you're clearing body thetans, which are quite complicated to discuss, Andrew. But yeah, so their belief is self-improvement and achieving kind of almost superhuman forms through this form of counselling.
I know it's extremely complex, but just briefly, I think a body thetan is essentially something from outer space that colonizes the human body.
So a brief synopsis is that an intergalactic overlord by the name of Xenu had a problem with overpopulation about 75 million years ago on another planet, shipped all these billions of bodies to what was referred to as TGAC, which we know as Earth, dropped them in volcanoes, threw a few hydrogen bombs around, they exploded. The thetans, the body spirits, left those bodies and landed on humans. And so Dianetic counselling helps get rid of those body thetans off your body. That's the theory.
I should point out here, you actually don't judge the Scientologists for their beliefs. You're actually quite non-judgmental about that. Your problem is essentially with what you call Ron's con.
Yeah.
What is Ron's con?
Yeah,
L. Ron Hubbard's con.
Okay, well, I'll stress that. Yeah, this is not, I'm not judging their belief, I'm judging their behaviour. Old Ron's con, it's a term I stole off Charlie Nan's film crew from the 1968 World in Action program, where they went and filmed L. Ron Hubbard on board his ship, the Apollo, which was docked at the time on the Mediterranean. They referred to it as Old Ron's con because in a pre-interview situation, Charlie Nan got L. Ron Hubbard to admit that it was all a con, that the reason he set up Scientology initially was to make money. And he had this conversation with Charlie Nan about fly fishing and how Scientology reminded him of going fly fishing with his father. And they would design these flies to deceive the fish, and they would throw it out and they would haul it back in. And he likened it to that. Now, this was a conversation that was had off camera. So Charlie Nan has run off, gone to get the film crew, and by now it's about 3 a.m, wakes them up, brings them back. By the time he gets back, because Hubbard had agreed to be interviewed, he couldn't get that same conversation on camera because suddenly he's surrounded by all these Scientologists who'd been sleeping in their bunks below. So he can't repeat what he just told Charlie Nan. But Charlie Nan has told me that Hubbard admitted it was a con. And Charlie Nan had asked the question of Hubbard, look, I understand that you can rip people off and con them of their money, but how does it feel going to bed with your wife who proclaims to be a Scientologist who you're also conning? And apparently Hubbard said to him, that's the first interesting question I've been asked in 20 years. He didn't say, oh, that's all rubbish, get off my ship.
But the other thing that Ron Hubbard has admitted is that it was a money-making exercise.
Yeah.
And that the way to make money, a classic way to make money, was to what? Establish yourself in the public mind and ultimately in the edicts of government as a religion.
That's right. He said this to Neeson Himmel, who was a LA Times crime reporter for 50 years when they lived together in a bohemian flop house in Pasadena. He said the fastest way to make $1 million is to start a religion. Three other science fiction writers of that era have said they heard Hubbard say that. Now, the Church of Scientology say George Orwell said that. He may well have done so, but there seems to be plenty of witnesses that Hubbard said it. Not only that, but in 1953, he wrote a letter to Scientology executive Helen O'Brien and said, perhaps it's time to pursue the religion angle. You know, he's referring to it as an angle to pursue, and a reason being that you could help minimize tax and also shield yourself in a country where it's constitutionally protected, the right to freedom of expression and freedom of religion. So it was kind of shielding Scientology from the attacks that it had when Dianetics came out. I also found another really interesting memo that was sent to Melbourne Scientologists back in the 1960s, just after there was this raid in Washington. And they say, the founding Church of Scientology of Washington, D.C. has just purchased all Hazzies. These are the Scientology franchises in Australia. We are to get its name on the door of every Australian office and issue minister's certificates to all auditors. So in other words, we're under attack. Let's use this registration of a church. Let's cloak the Scientology franchises, and they were set up as businesses in Australia, as churches. Get people wearing dog collars. Get people acting as ministers, calling themselves reverends. So cloak yourself in religion as a form of protection.
I wonder though, Steve, whether at some point in that early history of Scientology in Australia, there was a fear from mainstream religions that this might catch on, because you refer to a rather formidable Catholic priest and intellectual, Dr. Leslie Rumble, who gave very short shrift to Scientology. You also referred there to the Anderson Inquiry that was headed by Judge Kevin Anderson, a Catholic. Was there a fear, Steve, that this was or could develop into a formidable challenge to traditional religion?
I don't know if they feared it as a competitor, but they didn't like it. And Leslie Rumble, who was quite a famous Catholic priest and broadcaster at the time, who had a radio show where people would write in questions and he would give answers. Somebody from Bexley, P-O-N from Bexley, wrote in and said, I would like your advice on the subject of Scientology. And Rumble said, have nothing to do with it. Only credulous and gullible people will be impressed by the highbrow term as a fruit shop proprietor. Hope simpletons will be by the description of himself as a fruitologist. And he says, you flatter it by calling it a science. The Time magazine had recently described it as equal parts of science fiction, Dianetics and Jabberwocky. I don't know whether they thought it was a threat or not, but certainly Kevin Anderson, who was a strict Catholic, who was raised in the Catholic Church pre-Vatican II, had a moral dimension to his report, which I think kind of overstepped the line a bit. I think he was very moralistic, referring to Hubbard and sexual perversion. He talks about moral laxity. You know, the kind of comments you don't normally hear from a judge. He also said Scientology was evil.
Yeah. I should give a shout out here, though, to another great Australian journalist who delved early into Scientology, my old friend from the Sun Herald, Alex Mitchell, who was a young gun reporter on the Sunday Times in London in the late 60s and early 70s. He actually cornered Ron Hubbard for an attempted interview, one of the few journalists to actually get him.
He sure did. He did some really good things on Scientology. Number one, he exposed the practice of overboarding, where Hubbard threw Sea Org members off the ship of the Apollo into the water, even if they couldn't swim, as a form of punishment. Alex Mitchell also exposed Hubbard's links to Aleister Crowley and the occult. So two major breakthroughs in Scientology reporting in the late 60s. But Alex also cornered L. Ron Hubbard at the trough at a Corfu casino. And the way Alex Mitchell described this story to me was that he'd gone to Corfu to chase Hubbard, and he saw a man in a preposterous admiral's uniform standing on the dock get into a car, and he decided to follow that car. And the car went to the casino. Now, Alex was probably dressed as more the Mount Isa boy that he was rather than a person dressed to go to the casino. So they didn't let him into the main casino where Hubbard went in. So he had to sit at the bar for the badly dressed. And while he was sitting there, he saw Hubbard go into the toilet. Intrepid reporter Alex Mitchell goes in. L. Ron Hubbard is taking a leak at the trough in the casino and tries to get an interview. And Hubbard is not too impressed and knows who he is, because he's seen his reporting at the Sunday Times and tells him to get lost.
Yeah, although I've got to say, by the time that Alex and I became friends, he had a good line in sharp suits, but he wasn't. I don't think he'd be held up at the bar for the badly dressed when I knew Alex. But look, finally, Steve, did I read where the Scientologists even targeted, wait for it, Billy Graham? Now, whatever anyone thinks about Billy Graham and his evangelical theology, this man was a giant of 20th century American culture and religion. I don't think anyone would shake Billy Graham from his unshakable Christian beliefs. Why did the Scientologists think that Billy Graham might be a worthy target?
I don't know if they ever went after Billy Graham, but certainly L. Ron Hubbard in 1955 drew up a little memo called Project Celebrity, where he put out a list of potential big name recruits to sign up to Scientology. And he thought that these prime kind of communicators, he called them, would benefit Scientology. And on that list, and as the most extraordinarily diverse list, it includes Greta Garbo, Walt Disney, Liberace, Bob Hope, Billy Graham, Groucho Marx, and Edward R. Murrow. I can't imagine any of them, for various reasons, wanting to get involved in Scientology. Though in the end, it took an Australian woman, Yvonne Gillam, to set up the first celebrity centre in Los Angeles in the 1960s. But you could see back then in 55 that Hubbard saw the marketing opportunities of getting famous people on board.
Steve Kinnane discussing his new book, Fair Game, The Incredible Untold Story of Scientology in Australia.